Good morning. Today's daf in the Darm is Chaf. We're on New Testament base, and just a little bit more to finish up from yesterday's daf. We're at the two dots, about 8-9 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Rabbi Yehuda Amr Stam Truma Rabbi Yehuda. And so let's back up for just a moment. We're going back to the Mishnah on Yud Ches. The Mishnah on Yud Ches tells us that Stam Nedarim LaHachmir. I make a statement, and I'm trying to be matfis, and I'm trying to use a comp in order to make a neder. So, and I'm comping it to something which is ambiguous. So what do I do with that ambiguity? So if the parish is not there, it's not readily available, what we're going to do is that we're going to be machmir. So I say that this cup of coffee, okay, and I don't mean it, obviously, and it's not even here. Okay, it's already done. Baruch Hashem. So this cup of coffee should be to me like basam aliyach. It should be like salted meat. So now what? Salted meat. What salted meat am I talking about? Oh, so it could be that the salted meat I'm referring to is a karpon, which is a davar hanador, which would create an eder. It could also mean that the salted meat refers to salted meat. So over here, so I made an eder using hatfasa with an ambiguous term. So with that ambiguity, so we're machmir. That's the halacha. That's the stam nedarim lahachmir. Good. And the Mishnah cited numerous examples of this idea. And so you take a look back at the Mishnah, Yud Ches Amud Beis, and that's the upshot of the Mishnah. And what we've been doing since then is we've been saying pshat in the Mishnah. Okay, so the really what we've been doing all of yesterday was noting the stira between our Mishnah over here and the Mishnah in Taharis. The Mishnah in Taharis says that suffix nazirus is lahakel. So we spent the entirety of yesterday trying to go over how to resolve what is a blatant stira between the Mishnah in Adarim and the Mishnah in Taharis. Good, that was yesterday's avoda. In today's daf, So we're going to point out that there seems to be a stira in our Mishnah in of itself. Okay, now when you read the Mishnah once, I'd even go so far as to say even if you were to read the Mishnah twice, the stira is not that apparent, but once you see it, you can't unsee it. So what we're going to do right now is that we're going to see the stira in the Mishnah, okay, even though, again, it's not so obvious. And then once we see the stira in the Mishnah, so then you have to, now that we're going to see it, so what are we going to do with it? And the answer is going to be actually pretty simple, kind of like what we did yesterday. Two schools of thought. Okay, in Achinami. In other words, there is a stira in the Mishnah, and it's just simply a reflection of two schools of thought, of which we wouldn't have known had we just had the Mishnah. But now that we have the Gemara, it's going to be clarified that there are two schools of thought. And oh, by the way, this is not the right way to do it, but I'll just tell you where we're going to land on that, and that is the halacha falls like our Mishnah. Meaning that we're going to hold stam nedarim lahachmir, like our Mishnah said, like the stimasa of our Mishnah, but there's another school of thought. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda Amar Stam Truma Bihuda. So let's see the stira, and that is the Gemara now notes aha makirin asurin. Now you remember in the Mishnah it says that if you were in the north, so they say the word truma, so they're referring to truma sagarin. They're not. They don't know of Trumas Alishka. Now I say that, like I said yesterday, they know of a Trumas Alishka. But when people are talking up in the north and they use the word Truma, they're never using it in the context of Trumas Alishka, which makes perfect sense. Trumas Alishka is down in the base of Mikdash, which is in the south. So we don't discuss the Trumas Alishka. So when we say the word Truma and we're living up in the north, we're only referring to the Trumas Agorin. And as we already established numerous times, Trumas Agorin is not a davar hanador, which means that the neder is not going to be a neder. Okay, fine. So hamakirin, which means what? Meaning, let's look at the implication of the Mishnah. If we lived in the north and we said the word truma with a double meaning, meaning there isn't a double meaning, but had there been a double meaning, so then what we would have done is that we would have been machmir. So ama sveka lechumra. Good. So which is great, by the way, because that's what the Mishnah taught us. So far so good. That case with the truma works exactly in our favor. But then we have the next point of the Mishnah, which is a masefa. Let's go on. And that's tam charamim biyuda mutarin, uvegalal asurim. But what if we mention cherem? Now, the cherem, okay, so you and I don't have cherem as part of our daily discussion. So unless you're in learning, so you don't know about cherem. So let's go crash course in cherem. So cherem can come in one of two forms. There could be cherem kohanim and cherem gavoa. I want to dedicate something, so I could dedicate it as a cherem. It's just simply another vehicle of donation. So I could dedicate it as a cherem, and there could be two possible recipients. It could either be a cherem going to the kohanim, or it could be a cherem going to the Beis HaMikdash. So if you clarify, perfect. What if you don't clarify? So once again, it's ambiguous, and it can go in one of two directions. So if I make a cherem and I do so in the galil, so it's going to be usser. Why? So what did the Mishnah say? So let's read the Mishnah. Ein anshei galil makirnes cherem kohanim. Because up in the north, when we say cherem up in the north, we don't know from cherem kohanim. Again, it's not part of our daily dialogue. Okay, my guess would be is because kohanim typically don't live up in the north. Okay, whatever. Regardless, cherem kohanim are not used. That term is not used up in the north. So up in the north, you say the word cherem. There's only one understanding of the word cherem, which is that it's cherem hekdesh. Okay, good. So if I compare my cup of coffee to charamim, and I'm living up in the north, and there's only one understood definition, so therefore, my cup of coffee now is going to be usser. I did a proper hatfasa. So far, so good. So, ha makirin, but now, look at the implication. And that is that if I lived up in the north and I said the word cherem, and it was ambiguous, meaning it's not. But in other words, the implication of the Mishnah would be, is that if it is ambiguous, so then mutarin. So then it would be mutter. Oh, that's not good. Meaning ambiguity. And what comes out now? Had there been ambiguity, it'd be mutter. So amas feka lakula. So now it would mean that the suffix would be mako. Okay, so now that we've seen the implications in the Mishnah, we have implications in the Mishnah going in two different directions. Right? The first implication regarding Truma is that we're going to be machmir, which is great. That's our Mishnah. But then the second implication regarding cherem is that we're going to be mako. Oh, but that implication is all wrong. Or I don't mean it's wrong. I mean it goes against what we've been saying in the Mishnah again and again. Is that stam nedarim lahachmir? Okay, so Amar Abaye. So good. So now we see the stira. Okay, so now that we saw the stira, now it's just a question of how to address it. I already told you how it's going to be addressed. The Gemara here says it. So Amar Abaye, Sefer Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadoki. Okay. So in other words, the Gemara says very simply two schools of thought. Okay, good. D'tanya b'lantan abraisa, Rabbi Yehuda, Amr, Stam Truma, Rabbi Yehuda, Asura, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, Amr, Stam Charam, and Megala, Asurim. Good. The Gemara quotes the Braisa, and the Braisa tells us that there are two schools of thought. Meaning, our Mishnah gives us one school of thought, notably Rabbi Yehuda, which, by the way, does not come as a shock because our Mishnah actually cites Rabbi Yehuda. So our Mishnah's position is like Rabbi Yehuda, that if I make a statement trying to create a hatfasa regarding my neder, and I'm using an ambiguous term, and it can go in two different directions. One of those directions would have been a successful neder. The halacha is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you've made a neder. It's ambiguous? Yeah. Stam nedarim lahachmir. Good. That's our Mishnah. There is one line of our Mishnah that would seem to indicate otherwise. The Gemara now relates to us that, yeah, that one line in the Mishnah that seems to indicate otherwise, that is a different school of thought, notably the Shita of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok. Okay. Adkan. Okay, that takes us to the end of yesterday's daf. And by the way, the Ran points out, you can see the Ran actually on Chaf Amud Aleph. The Ran says that the halacha is like our Mishnah, meaning like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, Stam Nedarim Lahachmir. Okay. We are now Chaf Amud Aleph, and we're starting now the next Mishnah. But the next Mishnah is really just is a carryover from the previous Mishnah. You remember in the previous Mishnah, we had a header on the previous Mishnah. You can turn back to Yud Ches Amud Beis. You can take a look at the Mishnah on Yud Ches Amud Beis, Stam Nedarim Lahachmir. So now we've covered that for the last 2 days in detail. Really, the last 3 days, meaning, right, Yud Ches, Yud Tes, and a little bit of today's daf, which really I should have finished yesterday, but fine. So, Stam Nedarim Lahachmir, so we've covered that. And then, Uperushan Lahakel. And the second part of the header is that Perush is going to be Mekel. Okay. When I read the Mishnah, so I'm sure I said something along the lines of, let's wait. Good, the waiting is over. So here now the Mishnah on Chaf Amud Aleph is going to go on to explain Uperushan Lahakel. What does that mean? So the Gemara goes on to explain now. Sorry, the Mishnah goes on to explain. We're on Chaf Amud Aleph, we're on the very top. So over here, let's say you do the following. I make the following declaration. Neder b'cherem. I want to make a neder. This cup of coffee over here is going to be like cherem. Okay, fine. And now, which way, what does cherem mean? Well, as we already know, cherem can mean a whole bunch of things. It can mean cherem hektish, it can mean cherem kohanim. But you know what I do immediately after I say it? I qualify my own statement. And I give a commentary to that which I said. And the commentary to that which I said is really far-fetched. But I know what I meant, meaning I said it, and I'm telling you this is what I meant. And so the point of the Mishnah is that if I give a perish to that which I said, even if the perish that which I said is really unlikely, but perushan lahakel, if I give a perish and it comes down now that through my perish, the neder is a non-neder, that's fine, it works. So let's go over a number of examples. Neder b'chem v'am alo nedarti al b'chem v'shoyam. So let's say I make a neder b'cherem, but then I explain. You know which cherem I'm talking about? I'm talking about fishnets. Okay, fishnets? Where did that come from? Exactly. So in other words, cherem could mean a fishnet. I don't know how. I don't know where. In other words, but it is a possible definition of the word cherem. And I'm telling you that's what I meant. So in other words, so if I'm telling you that's what I meant, so perushim lahakel. Okay, unclear. When you're giving this perish, are you giving it toke de dibor? You're giving it a day later, a week later. So this point is not clarified in the Gemara. I'm sure it's discussed. I just haven't seen it. Okay, good. So ned bechem v'amalon datel bechem shayam. That's an example. The Gemara says, "I'll give you a second example." Sorry, I keep saying the Gemara. It's the Mishnah. I'll give you a second example. Bekarban. So you make a hatfasa and you say it's kekarban. I want it to be like a karban. And I say carbon. You know what I meant? I meant a gift. You know, like gifts you give to the king. Okay, now again, that's a really loose translation of the word carbon. Carbon usually refers to carbon, right? Like we generally understand. But again, you're giving the parish to now what you meant. I meant a gift to the king. Now, a gift to the king is not a davar hanador. It's a gift to the king. And so therefore, through my parish, albeit it is far-fetched, but through my parish now, I've negated the neder. Good, you could do that. So hare atzmi b'karban. So now, I say atzmi b'karban, right? The bone should be like a karban, right? Etzem. So the Gemara says, v'am lo nadarti ala betzem she'inach lo lios no derbo. And then you go on to explain. You know what I was referring to? In other words, what I do is I keep in my house a bone, and I make a neder with that bone. And granted, by the way, I do that, and it confuses people. I know confuses people, but that's what I do. But again, it's a really far-fetched explanation, but he gives such an explanation. And so once again, Perushim Lahakel. That's a third example. I'll give you another example. Konim Ishti Nenesli. Person makes a neder against his wife. He's so unhappy with his wife, he makes a neder against her. And then, Va'amar Alon Adarti Ala B'Ishti Arishona. I said my wife. You know what I was referring to? I'm referring to my first wife, right? That's the wife that I'm referring to. Good. So, right, everyone's laughing. Good. That should be the reaction. Meaning, that's not what he meant. No, but he's telling us that's what he meant. So a fourth example of Perush al-Mahakel. In other words, if he's giving Perush, so we could be Mako. So Akulam inishalam lahem. So now, because of his Perush, so the Neder is a non-Neder, so he doesn't have to ask a Shaila. Meaning, because it's not a Neder. Good. Now, I'm going to add into the Mishnah. I'm not actually adding into the Mishnah, but what I'm doing now is I'm just helping us understand the Mishnah. Everything I'm saying right now is going to be clear, is going to be clarified by the Gemara, but it just makes the Gemara so much, it makes the Mishnah so much easier to read with a simple addition right now. Everything we said, meaning that through your parish, the neder becomes a non-neder, everything we're saying is true by Tam Chacham. But you have an Am Haaretz, and we already made this distinction earlier in the Masechta, where the Amei Haaretz are not careful about Nedarim, and if we allow them to just get away with these kinds of leniencies, so what they're going to do is they're going to significantly abuse the whole system of Nedarim. So by an Amei Haaretz, so we're going to be a little bit harsher with him. Well, we'll see how much harsher we're going to be regarding the Amei Haaretz, but Al Kulam in Nishalam Lahem, V'im Nishalu. Now, what if they do ask a Shaila? Now again, at face value, the Mishnah is impossible to read. Meaning the Mishnah just says, Ein Nishalam Lahem, meaning it's not a neder. You don't have to go to a Chacham. You don't have to ask a Shaila. But meanwhile, if you do, well, what do you mean, if you do? So again, just remember what I just added. Well, that's not, we were discussing previously about a Tamach Chacham. Now we're talking about an Am Haaretz. V'im Nishalu Onshin Osan. So we punish them. U'machmirim Aleihem, and we're gonna be machmer on them. So div Rebbe Meir. That is Shitas Rebbe Meir. Okay, so we're gonna explain it with more clarity as we go through the Gemara exactly what we're doing to the Am Haaretz who made such a neder, meaning made a neder, gave a far fetched explanation, and what do we do with him? So the Mishnah gives us this loose terminology, not loose, but ambiguous terminology of punishing and being machmer on him. Okay, so stay tuned. We'll discuss that better in the Gemara. And according to the Chachamim, no, the Amar does have to ask a Shaila, but what you could do is you can release him from his neder from literally another place. And what we do is that we teach them, notably that they shouldn't be so flippant about making nedarim. Okay. So here, a little bit, I'll just explain a little bit better. Okay, according to the Chachamim, with the Am Haaretz who made such a neder, who gave a far-fetched explanation, so we tell the Am Haaretz, you need to go to a Chacham. Now, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim are telling us, okay, and the Chacham's going to deal with them. From the Chachamim, I have already a better understanding of Rabbi Meir. What did the Chachamim say? Poskam lam pesach mimakam acher, you can release them from another place. Okay. Let me go just give a quick introduction over here, like a little bit of a crash course. Okay, how do you release someone from a neder? Okay, there's something called Pesach and there's something called Charata. Okay, all this will be clarified later in the Masechta. Right? Of course, the Gemara assumes that we know this already. Right? The irony, the built-in irony in learning is that in order to learn, you have to learn, you have to know. Okay, but how do you know? By learning. Well, how are you going to learn? Because you already know. So, okay, good. So the Gemara expects us to know this already, notably that to extricate yourself from a neder, so for the Chacham to extricate you from a neder, you can't do it yourself. So he can either do it via Pesach or via Charata. What's the difference between the two? Pesach. Pesach is basically where he releases you with the neder itself, right? In other words, if I can give an analogy, basically lifting the hood up and looking underneath and to see the engine itself and fixing the problem internally. Meaning, I know you're regretting having made the neder, but in other words, but we have to release you only based on the actual neder itself. Okay, that's a little bit vague, but and later in the Masechta, we're going to be a little bit clearer about what that means exactly, but that's a Pesach. What about Charata? Charata just simply means, I made the neder, you know what, I was in a really bad mood at the time. So that's something external. That has nothing to do with the neder itself, that's external. What you could do is you could release somebody using charata. I just simply regret making the neder. That's the expression of poskim lo mimakam acher. In other words, externally, you can release somebody from a neder. So what the Chachamim are saying is that for our Am Haaretz, who made such a neder and give a far-fetched explanation, when now we're demanding that he be released. So what the Chachamim say is that you could release him using either Pesach or charata. And what Rabbi Meir, now we're backing up in the Mishnah to Rishita's Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says that what we're going to do is that we're going to be machmir aleihem. It means that we're only going to release him using a Pesach, not Charata. Obviously, Charata is a lot easier. Because who isn't mischaret? Who isn't regretting having made an eder? Meaning, if he's going to the Chacham, you don't think he's in a state of regret? So using a Charata is an easy way to extricate somebody from an eder. What the Chachamim is saying is that because our Am Haaretz was so flippant with Nadarim, so yes, he can go to a Chacham, but no, you can't use Charata, you can only use Pesach. Okay, good. I haven't fully explained Rabbi Meir. There's still more to explain within Shitas Rabbi Meir.
He also is making an edda that's a joke.
Okay, good.
So why would it apply to him too?
I hear. Phil. Phil's asking why are we being so harsh with the Am Haaretz? The Talmud Chacham who made such a neder also showed a lack of concern and respect to the neder. Okay, I hear you. So Hagufa Kasha. So here now I explained the Mishnah, and so we're just going to read it inside the Gemara. But now we already know the answer. So Hagufa Kasha. Amarte Nishal Lehem V'Hadotaniim Nishal Onchem Masa Machmir Nalehem. So first the Mishnah says, okay, you gave a far-fetched explanation that works. And then the Mishnah immediately then goes on to say, and oh, by the way, you're going to go to a Talmud Chacham and he's going to extricate you from the neder. What just happened in the Mishnah? So I'm Rav Yehuda, Achi Ketana, V'kulam Mitzrichin Sheila, Ba'med V'amamor, B'Talmud Chacham, Ba'va Ba'am Haaretz, K'sheba Lishal, Onshin Oso Machmir Nalayim. Okay, so the distinction between a Talmud Chacham and Am Haaretz, you already heard me say it, but more importantly, much more importantly, the Gemara is the one who introduces us to this distinction. So Bishlama Machmir and Dula Paskin Le Becharata. So the Gemara already figured it out. Meaning I figured it out in the Mishnah. I didn't do anything. I just, in other words, I prepared the Gemara, I read the Rans. In other words, I just told you what I knew. But the Gemara already assumes. Machmirin means, according to Rabbi Meir, that when the Am Haaretz comes over to you with such a neder, so what you can't do is you can't use Charata as a way of releasing him. You only can use Pesach. The Gemara says, I get that. Lo paschin le becharata. So ela onchin echidami. But the Mishnah also says, according to Rabbi Meir, we're ma'anish him, we punish him. Well, what does that mean? In the context of this neder, what does that mean, punish him? So the Gemara says, kidetanya, I'll tell you what we mean. So we have a braisa. Misha nazir v'aval nazira. So let's say a person commits himself to becoming a nazir, and then he's a train wreck. Just an absolute train wreck. Meaning he's drinking wine and whatever, and he's not keeping to his commitment to being a nazir. Ein nizkakin lo. Ashkenag bo iser. So now he goes over to a chacham and he says to the chacham, I made a commitment to become a nazir. Can't handle it. Okay, so the chacham says to him, okay, you know what? I'm not ready to listen to you. And I won't be ready to listen to you until you at least keep to some of your commitment. Now, when I say some of your commitment, what does that mean? So, kiyamim shenag ben meheter. So in other words, let's say, for example, right, a week, in other words, it's been a week now since he committed to being a nazir. And let's say it's been a week now that he's been a train wreck. Right, for the last week now, he's been drinking wine every day. Okay, now again, drinking wine every day, it's not a train wreck. But when you commit to becoming a nazir, and then for the next week you're drinking wine, okay, so, in other words, I know it's a harsh term, but you're a train wreck. So that you're supposed to be a nazir. So the only time that the Chacham is even ready to listen to him is that for one more week, no wine. Then and only then I'm ready to listen to you. And of course, what the Chacham can do afterwards is then extricate him from his neder. So Ashi Nagbo Iser, Kiyamim Shenag Ben Meheter, Div Rabbi Yehuda, that sheet is Rabbi Yehuda. I'm Rabbi Yosef Ben Medvar, Mamorim, Beniziris Muates, Aval Beniziris Meruba, Shoshim Yom. I'm sorry, Daya B'Shoshim Yom. So now that's if we're talking about a small Naziris. Now what if we're talking about a long Naziris? Okay, this person, right, with his grandiose plans of becoming a Nazir for a year. I'm just giving an example. For a year, he's going to become a Nazir. And now, let's say 6 months, train wreck. First 6 months is train wreck. And now he goes to a Chacham. Now for the Chacham to say to him, okay, you have to be dry for 6 months. Then and only then I'm going to release you. So that's a lot. That's a lot. So according to Rabbi Yossi, so for such an individual, a month. A month you have to observe your Naziris and then come back to me and then we'll talk about a Pesach.
You don't have to be any korbanot for breaking his Naziris?
No. No.
I mean, correct.
If he is Tameh, and he's so fine. But no, he doesn't bring Karbanos. What he does is that he's violating his Naziris. He'll get Malkus.
Does drinking reset the clock? If you were a 30-day Nazir and you drank one, does it reset the clock?
I don't think so. In other words, becoming Tameh resets the clock. Drinking wine, I think it's just simply a violation. Can he count that day towards his Naziris? I don't remember. Okay. So Amr of Yosef Hova Amr Rabban and Ein Iskakin. Okay, so what do we have right now? So we have our Am Haaretz who made a neder with a far-fetched explanation, and now we learned in our Mishnah that such an individual has to go to a Talmud Chacham. But according to Rav Meir of our Mishnah, Onshin Osa, we punish him, and now we know what that means, and that is that for the days that he was casual with his neder, so he has to observe it. Then and only then can we hear him out. So the Gemara says, Amr of Yosef Hova Amr Rabban and Ein Iskakin. Lo beidina demizdikake, so lo avid shapir, ravach reyakav amasham tinale. Now, for the beis din, that does not follow protocol. Protocol is, I'm not listening to you until, I'm not hearing your case until you observe the days that you were flippant with. So, and you have a beis din that doesn't follow protocol, so that beis din is a bad beis din. And the Gemara goes a step further. Not only is it a bad beis din, so, Mishamtinale, that basin is going to be put in Cherem, that basin is going to be excommunicated. You're going to disbar the members of that basin. Okay. The Chachamim Omerim Lo Posting Lo Pesach Tana. Okay. Let's just pause for a moment. We're not stopping. In other words, we're going to finish up the daf, but let's pause for a moment before we go on. Good. So what we have now so far is an understanding of Pirushin Lahakel, meaning here in the first half of today's daf, so what we learned together is that the header that we learned on Yud Ches Amud Beis of that stam nedarim lahachmir. Good. That was yesterday and the day before. And then perushin lahakel, that's today's daf. And what does it mean? It means that if you say that you're trying to make a neder, and you say the word cherem or carbon, but then you give a far-fetched explanation of what that means, okay, perushin lahakel, we could be mekel. But also what we just learned together is, yes, it's true, perushin lahakel, but that's for a talmid chacham. For Amma Aretz, we're not going to be mekel for him. In fact, we're going to have him observing his neder, at least for the days that he was casual, and then we could release him. Now, when releasing him from his neder, what are we going to use to release him from his neder? Reb Meir says, only Pesach Nacharata, and the Chachamim say you could use Pesach V'Charata to release him from this neder. Okay, good. Adkan, that takes us to the end. Not the end of the daf, but the end of that section. Okay, now we're going to go on. Okay, the rest of today's daf is going to be really interesting and extraordinarily graphic. Okay, it's a little bit strange that we are going to move into the discussion of modesty and proper hanhaga between husband and wife. And I know how we're going to get there from where we are right now. It's a jump. Meaning, if I had to guess correctly, I wouldn't have guessed correctly. What is the rest of today's daf going to be discussing and describing? But it's an extraordinarily mature topic and requires a degree of maturity. Okay, let's all try, more than try. So the Gemara now v'chachamim omrim posting on Pesach Tana lo lamalt alti ragol b'nedarim the shesofcha limo b'shavuos. Okay, don't be casual in nedarim. You're casual in nedarim, and what's going to happen is that you're going to be casual with shavuos. Okay, we learned as recently as yesterday that shavuos is more chamor than nedarim. Okay, and even though it's hard to compare the two, but the Gemara yesterday said, yeah, but we can, because by shvua lo yinakeh. Person is casual by shvua and violates a shvua. Kadosh Baruch Hu does not forgive such an individual. Anyway, shvua is more severe than that of a neder. You're casual when you're in a darim. You're going to end up becoming casual with shvus, and that's no good. And alti ragel etzal amarit shesof kalachil lachil chatfalim. Now you hang out, you pal around with amei haaretz. Also no good, because they don't take off chumas amaisros, and you're going to be eating with them, and you're going to be eating tevel. Okay, no good. And alti ragel etzal kohen amarit shesof kalachil chatruma tmeya. Okay, don't hang out with a kohen amarit, because you're going to end up eating truma tmeya. Now, if you're not a kohen, I guess this is not a problem. But in other words, for the kohanim who go and seek their friendship and their social circles around other kohanim who are not careful about tumah tahara, so they're going to eat truma tmeya. And again, so to avoid it, avoid kohanim who are amei haaretz. And al tar besicha me'isha sof chalav alidei niuf. And if you go ahead and hang out with women, other women, so it's going to lead to adultery. A person who is gazing at women, so it's going to lead to avera. And if you look at the heel, but the foot of a woman, so you're going to have banim shein mehuganim. You're going to have children who are just improper. I'm Rav Yosef uvi ishto nida. Now Rav Yosef says that we're talking about your own wife and while she's a nida. Meaning that what you shouldn't be doing is that you shouldn't be gazing at your own wife while she's a nida. In other words, obviously, you should be normal with her and converse with her and so forth and so on. But what you should not be doing is staring at her while she's a nida. And again, for the obvious reason that it will lead to improper relations. I'm Rabbi Shimon Malakish. Akeva diktani b'makam atinofesh u mechuvan keneged ha'akev. Now, Reish Lakish gives a different understanding of not looking at the akeva. First of all, he doesn't understand akeva to be taken literally. It's a euphemism. It's not a reference to the foot. It's a reference to the makam erva. And he says that even with your own wife, even when she's muteris to you, and what I'm saying is the Ran's pshat in the Gemara, even when she's muter to you, a person should not be looking at the makam erva. Tanya, we learned in a brisa, bavortia yiraso apneichem. So the pasuk in Parshas Yisro by the Aser Sedibros. So what the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants is for us to have yira. Right, Yiras Hashem. There are, I mentioned this already numerous times, the Mishnah Berurah in the beginning, so he brings down that there are six mitzvahs tamidios, right? And any given point in time, a person can be mekayim any one of six mitzvahs. Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, right? And one of them happens to be coming up later in today's daf. So I just got excited because we have we have of the mitzvahs to midio. So we have a couple of them in today's daf. So one of them is Yiras Hashem. And the Gemara now understands, Ba'avortia Yirasol Panechem Zua Busha. In other words, what we need to have is a healthy amount of busha. We have to be embarrassed. We have to have a sense of embarrassment. So Levotita Chatal Malamisha Busha Mivili de Yirashet. Now, what happens is that with that busha, so you're going to have proper Yirashet. Mikan Amru Simen Yafa Ba'adam Shuhu Baishan. So in other words, what's a really good attribute to have and to work on is to have busha, is to have this sense of embarrassment. Somebody who has a proper sense of busha is not going to sin all that quickly. Now you see somebody who has absolutely no busha whatsoever, so his forefathers weren't by Har Sinai. Okay? See the Ran over here who goes on and gives more parish over here. Anyway, we continue. Amrav Yochem ben Davai arba dvarim sachulei malachei asharis. So Rav Yochem ben Davai says that four things were relayed to me by malachei asharis. Now, in just a little bit, malachei asharis does not actually refer to malachei asharis. Now, it's not that it can't refer to malachei asharis. It just happens to be that in this particular case, it's not. And later on, we'll explain why that is. Okay. So chigrim imne ma'havyan. Okay, so somebody is born lame. Okay, so the Gemara over here is assuming a certain correlation between various fetal abnormalities and developments, and having to do with the modesty that the husband and wife had together during Tashmish Shemitah. Okay, and obviously, a really serious discussion. Good. So mimne she'ofchen ha'shulchanam. So why is it that the child comes out lame? So it's because when husband and wife, when mom and dad were with one another, were intimate with one another, so they turned over the table. Obviously, not to be understood literally. Obviously, it's figurative over here. What exactly does that mean? Hofkin and Shochanam, various explanations that are given. I'll give a simple explanation, and that is if they had Bia Shloka Darka. Okay, but that's just one explanation. There are other explanations of the Gemara as well. Ilmim, Mibne Mahavyan. So why is it? And by the way, all these I don't want to graphically explain all this too much. In other words, this is a daf that's being recorded, and you know it is for public consumption. But the idea over here is that the Bia Shelo Kedarka is obviously by the it's by the hips, and so therefore the child comes out lame. In other words, you can understand a little bit better that's Mida Kenegan Mida. Okay, and by the way, this I did want to point this out. Bia Shaloka Darka, right? So husband and wife can engage in Bia Shaloka Darka or cannot engage in Bia Shaloka Darka. So oddly enough, interestingly enough, a discussion to be had in terms of whether that is appropriate for a husband and wife to engage in Bia Shaloka Darka. There's a Tosos that says that occasionally it's okay, but the generally speaking, our Gemara over here would certainly seem to indicate that never they should engage in such a behavior. Okay, anyway, I just mentioned it, but it's Rishonim already discussed it. Il mimne ma'havyan. So a person is born mute. So what can that be attributed to? So mimne shemnashkin aloso makom. So it's because when they were intimate with one another, so the husband and wife, so he kissed her ba'oso amakom. Charashim mimne ma'havyan. So the somebody's a deaf. It's because mom and dad, when they were engaged in Tashmish Amita, so they were talking during Tashmish Amita. That's going to be explained better in just a moment. So just put a note over there. We're going to come back to that. Somebody's born, Suma is blind. So it's because the father was looking, which we already just pointed out previously, is something that man should not do. Uriminhu, so the Gemara says, okay, now I'm going to challenge you. We're in the very bottom of Chafa Madalf, ready to make the turn. Uriminhu, shalos ima shalom. So the following question was posed to ima shalom. This is the wife of Rabbi Eliezer. So mibne ma banaych yafefin biyoser. So your children are beautiful. They don't exhibit any blemishes whatsoever. And why should that be? So that's a personal question, and she's going to give a very personal answer. But again, it goes without saying, right? I know I say this often, but it's true. So this is all part and parcel of Torah. In other words, this is a chelik of Torah, right? The behavior between husband and wife during Tashmi Shemita is in fact Torah Hi, and Tzarich Anu Lameidim. We need to know this. And so, and the Gemara does not leave any aspect of our lives outside of the realm of Torah. And so good. So this is part and parcel of Torah. So they ask her a personal question, and she gives a very personal answer. So Amar Lahem, so she says as follows. So Einam Asapremi, Lo B'tchilas HaLayla, Lo B'sof HaLayla. So my husband doesn't talk with me, not at the beginning of the night, and at the end of the night. Now talking with me is a euphemism. And it means over here, Tashmi Shemitah. And so we don't engage in Tashmi Shemitah, not at the beginning of the night, not at the end of the night. Ella B'chatzos HaLayla. So, but only in the middle of the night, and the Rana goes on to explain over here, nobody's walking around at that time. In other words, then there's no way that my husband would be thinking about anyone other than me. Okay. And then, in terms of modesty, so he exhibited, me and my husband exhibited immense modesty during Tashmi Shemitah. Okay, now, covering a tefach, uncovering a tefach. Okay, again, this is a extraordinarily private discussion that, unfortunately, we're having a little bit more publicly over here. But in other words, should the husband and wife be clothed during Tashmi Shemitah? Typically, the answer is going to be no. And so over here, Rabbi Eliezer engaging in what seems to be a covering of the body during Tashmi Shemitah. So again, a discussion to be had. I'm just highlighting right now.
Husband refused to get undressed, was it grounds for divorce?
Correct, absolutely correct. In other words, that's the proper answer is that the husband and wife should be unclothed. That's the proper answer. However, there is this Gemara over here. Okay, so the Vidoma Alav Kemisha Kafoshet, and he did it so quickly, it was like he was coerced. Okay, and just for a literal translation of the Gemara, all right, coerced by a demon, a little bit difficult to understand, but. In other words, but the simple pshat is, and again, I'm saying it like the Ran, the simple pshat is that he did it really quickly. And so that it gave him no opportunity for him to think about anything other than me. And so funny, I quote the Ran, it's really the Gemara. The Gemara says is that the reason why he did it so quickly is so he had no opportunity to think about any other woman. If he were thinking about another woman, it'd be a quasi-mamzeris. Now, I say mamzeris. The Gemara says mamzeris. Mamzeris over here, not to be taken literally. If a man's thinking about another woman, the child is not a mamzer. But in other words, it schmecks of a non-fidelity type of relationship. And so therefore, it's a quasi-mamzeris. So the Gemara says, okay, now, unbeknownst to us, so what the Gemara is pointing out is a stira. Okay, where did you see the stira? A little bit hard to see, but if I can clarify, the stira is basically the following. Previously, we said that husband and wife should not be engaging in any conversation during Tashmi Shemitah. Over here, with Rabbi Eliezer and his wife, Ima Shalom, so they engage in conversation. Now, where did you see that? Did you see that? So it's a little bit hard to see, but the expression that was used when she described relations. She said that my husband was not misaper with me, beginning of the night, end of the night, but rather middle of the night. Now, misaper is used euphemistically, but still, what's the word of choice used to describe the relations? Sipur, meaning that they spoke. And again, I know it's a euphemism, but it means that they engaged in Tashmish and they spoke also. So what the Gemara now is assuming is that they talked during Tashmish Amita, which obviously must mean it's okay. And previously we said, it's not okay. So the Gemara says, Lo kasha, habe mila detashmish, habe mila achrenaisa. Okay. So the simple distinction the Gemara makes is that if talking about the tashmish itself and creating more chivuv between husband and wife during tashmish, that's fine. Perhaps even recommended. But in other words, having conversations about anything else is perfectly inappropriate during tashmish amita. I'm Rav Yochanan Zudiv, Rav Yochanan ben Dahavai. Rav Yochanan says, everything we just said, that's the sheet of Rav Yochanan ben Da'avai. But the Chachamim say, that's not the halacha. So, a man could do whatever he wants with his wife. So, mashal abasar ba mi beis ha-tavach. Now, over here, I'm going to admit, the mashal's a little bit rough over here, but the Gemara says, I have a mashal. And that is when you when you want to eat a piece of meat, so rasa la achlo, bemelcha ochlo, you want to eat it salted, that's fine, sli ochlo, you want to roast it, that's fine, mevusha ochlo, you can eat it cooked. So shaluk, you want to overcook it, that's fine as well, ochlo, vechein dag abami beis atzayin, same thing with fish as well. So in other words, a man can consume any which way he wants. A man can be with his wife any which way he wants. And you don't have to limit yourself to what we described previously as per the instructions of Rav Yochanan and Davai. Amar amemar mamalach yashar es rabbanan. So that goes back now, and that allows us to say the following. Now, Rav Yochanan and Davai received his mesorah from what seems to be really good sourcing, meaning I converse with malach yashar es in order to arrive at my conclusions. So now amemar is pointing out, Malach HaYasharis is used euphemistically. I know there's a lot of euphemism in today's daf, but even Malach HaYasharis is a euphemism. It doesn't mean Malach HaYasharis. Again, I'll say what I said previously. It's not that they can't have a conversation with Malach HaYasharis. It just happens to be in this case, it wasn't Malach HaYasharis. How do I know that, says the Meimar? So Rabbanan, di'ite malach HaYasharis mamash amai, amai amai Rabbi Yochanan alach HaYochanan ben davai. Ha'inu b'ki b'tzir asavla tfei. In other words, if really Rabbi Yochanan ben Dehavai got his Mesorah from actual angels, so Malach HaYasharis, so they understand fetal formation better than you and I do. And if they're telling us something, meaning, and if the they is referring to Malach HaYasharis, who's ready to argue with them, right? Their knowledge of the fetal development far surpasses any of our knowledge. So it must be that when Rav Yochanan ben Davai got his Mesorah, so it was really from Chachamim, but he called them Malach HaYasharis. So the obvious question, why do you call them Malach HaYasharis? V'amai karu l'Malach HaYasharis? D'mitzaynik Malach HaYasharis, because they're distinguished. And so because of their distinguished nature, so they're like Malach HaYasharis, but they're not actually Malach HaYasharis. Really interesting, by the way. In other words, I'll just make an obvious observation, and that is that, in other words, Chachamim, so you, when I say you, by the way, I don't mean you and I. But in other words, you can argue with Chachamim, meaning Rav Yochanan is totally within his right to argue with the Chachamim. And he does, right? And he says, the halach is not like Rav Yochanan ben Davai, but rather like, right, so in other words, but it's interesting. In other words, if the word were not to be coming from Chachamim, but if the psak were to be coming from Malach HaYasharis, so that you can't argue with. Now, I don't want to overgeneralize, and I don't want to say that this is always true, meaning it can be, and maybe it is, limited only to this particular discussion, but it's certainly interesting that the Rav Yochanan felt comfortable arguing, knowing that the Bar Plukta is Talmid Chachamim. Okay. Agreed. How would Dasa come at the Rebbe? Right? How would Dasa come at the Rebbe? Amra lo, Rebbe Arachti lo, Shochan Vafku. So a woman comes to in front of Rebbe, and she has tainas, and that her husband's having relations with her, but bishul kedarka, and she thought it was usher. So amar la biti Torah hitirticha vaani maaselach, and so Rebbe says, okay, but the Torah is matir, meaning Rebbe also is of this position like Rebbe Yochanan, that the Torah is matir, a husband and wife to have relations in any manner. And again, similarly, a woman came over to Rav and also had the same taina on Rav, and Rav also responded with, it's mutter. Now again, I'm not explaining the Gemara super literally, but that's exactly what the Gemara means. It's mutter. Okay. Velosa surachare levavchem. Okay. Mikana mer Rebbe, al yishtel adam bekozev, yitenena bekozacher. Okay, a person's not allowed to follow their eyes. Okay, I pointed out earlier this morning, 6 mitzvos tamidios. So now this is one of them. Lo sasur achari levavchem, we have to be careful about what we see. Right, shmir seinayim. Okay, so over here, the Gemara now notes that shmir seinayim covers what? It covers even when a man is with his wife, should not be thinking about somebody else. That is incorporated, included in the mitzvah of Shmir Seinayim. So Am Ravina lo nitzucha ela dafilu sheinashav. And Ravina says, I'll take it even one step further. In other words, the obvious point is that when you're with your wife, you should not be thinking about another woman that you're not married to, or even another woman's married to somebody else. That will call a davar pashut. Ravina says, let's say you're married to two wives. Right now you're with one. You're thinking about the other wife. Who's muteris to you? That's also a violation of los asiru. Achrei levavchem. That's also a function of shmir seinayim. In other words, the theme of today in this very very graphic Gemara is that when husband and wife are together, they should be focused and concentrating on one another. That's the obvious point of most of today's daf. Okay, uvrosi mikem hamordim vaposhim bi. Kadosh Baruch Hu says is that what I'm going to do is I'm going to separate from you those who rebel against me. I'm Rebbe Levi, Elo B'nei Teisha Midos. This is a reference to 9 different situations in which husband and wife should not be together. Now, if you're following the number that we're about to go through right now, there are going to be actually 10 different cases. Okay, and the Ran notes that, and the Ran does a little bit of accounting. And in a moment, I'll tell you exactly what the Ran does in terms of making the numbers work out. Amr b'levi elu b'nei teisha midos b'nei asnas mishka'ach. So that this is what's called a mnemonic to help us remember the nine different couples who should not be having tashmish shemitah with one another. Again, this is husband and wife, but because of various situations, they should not be together. B'nei ema, let's say the husband instills too much fear in the house. And in the house, I'm talking about his wife. In other words, he's basically intimidating his wife to have tashmish. No good. B'nei anusa, he actually violates her. Obviously, that's not something that a husband should be doing. B'nei snua, he has a hatred towards her. He has animus towards her. So he should not be engaging in tashmish and amita. B'nei nidui, the way the Ran explains it, is that he's in a state of nidui. When a man is in a state of nidui, he's excommunicated, he cannot be with his wife, and he is. So again, something which is totally improper.
The mitzvah,
you're thinking of the mitzvah? Yeah. Right, where his wife can go out there?
Yeah.
Well, good, that's a mitzvah. So they over here.
Also a nidui.
I don't remember. The Ran over here, I'm saying over the Ran, but I hear, I don't remember. Okay. So, b'nei nidui, b'nei tumura, right? A man's thinking about another woman while engaging in relations with his own wife. B'nei meriva, they're in the middle of a fight. B'nei shechros, intoxication. B'nei grusha salev, he's thinking about divorcing her. B'nei irvuvia, she's with multiple men. B'nei chatzufa, and she solicits her husband verbally. Okay. So these are all. Now, again, I know I'm going through this all too quickly. There were 10. So what the Ran points out over here is that B'nei Ema and B'nei Anusa really are the same. It just happens to be, obviously, Anusa is more forceful than Ema. Ema is just simply intimidation, and Anusa is physical coercion. Okay, so, but nevertheless, they file under one, and then there are 8 others. It comes out to be a total of 9. Okay. Now, Ini, the Gemara says, now the last thing that we just pointed out is that verbal solicitation on her part is improper. So, so if the wife solicits her husband, so the child that's going to be a product of that is going to be exceptional, greater than that of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Can we say such a thing? The Gemara just did. So, uksiv, by the way, I said it wrong. Not greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, but greater than the people of the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, that's it. Hold it. It's fine. It's fine. It's a perfectly appropriate question. It just happens to be before the daf. I told them I'm not going to discuss that because there's what to be said about. There's a lot to be said about that. Okay, just to include everybody. By the way, what Ben pointed out is that presumably. So the relationship between Yaakov and Leah seems to be a violation of at least 2 of the situations we pointed out over here. Okay. And so I just pointed out, I'm aware and I'm tabling the discussion. Good. I have the right to do so. I reserve that right. So ahav lechem anashim chachamim unavonim, ksive kach roshe yishivtechem velo ksiv nevonim, uksiv yisachar chamor garem. So uksiv mnei Yisachar yodei bina liitim. Okay, so Yisachar. Now Yisachar was a result of what? The wife Leah soliciting her husband, and so okay. So in other words, so when the wife solicits her husband, so we just learned together, that's a good thing. But previously we said that's a bad thing. Which way is it? So the Gemara says, Haida Maratza Eretzuye. So the Gemara over here gives a really basic explanation, and that is that a wife solicits her husband, meaning that she communicates to her husband that she's interested, but not verbally. In other words, verbal solicitation, that's improper on the part of the wife. But in other words, other forms of communication, that's perfectly appropriate, and not only appropriate, in other words, it's something which is recommended. Okay.
But Leah was verbal. I mean, he told her, I got it, my dude, I am my son.
Okay, fair. It's fair. What you're saying is fair, but I just that's how the Gemara presents it. Hadron alach ve'elu mutarim, and that is the end of the second parak of the Masechta. And the good Adkan. Obviously, we'll stop over here. Okay, so two things that we did today, just as a summary. One, perushan lahakel, that if you give an explanation of your neder, even if it's a far fetched explanation, that will work. That will serve as a valid explanation, and it will make your neder non neder. And then, but there are many more details. Even today's daf, that's true by Tamei Chacham, by an Am Haaretz, it's not true. By an Am Haaretz, we're going to come down hard on him. We don't want him to be casual with Nedarim. And so therefore, we're going to come down hard on him. And on that, what does that mean? We're going to come down hard on him. It's a machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Exactly to what extent we're going to make a life a little bit more difficult for the Am Haaretz, so that basically disincentivize him from making a neder in the future. That was part one of today's daf. Part two of today's daf is that the Gemara segued. All right, it wasn't an easy segue, but the Gemara segued into a discussion of proper behavior between husband and wife, laws of modesty between husband and wife. And so the Gemara spent a good part, more than 50% of today's daf, dedicated to this particular topic. Adkan.